All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Gerald Slinty. Always a pleasure to have Gerald on Friday, every other Friday. And if you want to see his excellent publication that's put out on a weekly basis, tremendous amount of information, you can see it in an online magazine format with links, and it looks just like you're reading a digital book. But Trends Journal, you can find it at trendsjournal.com. And Gerald has kindly put up a code. If you use Knight, you can save 10% off of a subscription there to Trends Journal. So joining us now is Gerald Slinty. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Well, thank you for having me.
How do you
like the cover of this week's Trends Journal?
Oh, it's always great. It's absolutely super. Yeah. But tell me, we'll get to that in a moment. Tell me what you think about what I was just saying in terms of the way the Biden administration is hell-bent on using sanctions and weaponizing the dollar, and especially because their ultimate goal is to even get rid of the physical dollar. They want everybody electronic. They're doing that to Iraq now. They had them on allowance for the last 20 years, since 2003. I didn't know that Iraq had to pay, had all of their money had to be put into the Federal Reserve's bank account. Did you know that? That's pretty amazing.
No, I didn't.
Isn't that amazing? And so now they're saying, no, you can't have your money back. I mean, this is what we're going to see everywhere.
Yeah. Going back, you also, on the Iraq issue and the CBD, digital currencies, we've been writing about this for several years. Mm-hmm. They're all going to go digital, every country. Mm-hmm. Because they want your tax dollars.
Yes.
End of story. That doesn't go any further than that. Mm-hmm. And their currencies aren't worth crap. Mm-hmm. So when you go digital, they know every penny is spent, where you spent it, what you spent it on. They have more and more control over your life. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, and I did not know this, that the Federal Reserve back in 1919, where you read about them being a corporation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And think about this. The corporation, the Federal Reserve, is running our country. Yeah. Not only with them being in charge of our complete money supply and what they want to do, raise interest rates, lower interest rates. Who's our Federal Reserve? Who's our Treasury Secretary? Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
What was the last job? Oh, you mean sitting at the head of the Federal Reserve? You mean the former head of the Federal Reserve is our Treasury Secretary? Mm-hmm. How clear can it be as to who's running our country?
Yeah.
This is a crime. And it was brought to you by an outright criminal, may he rot in hell, Woodrow Wilson.
Yes.
Who not only gave us the Federal Reserve, that piece of scum brought us into World War I.
Yes.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy, a Yankee Doodle do or die. And just like the people swallow that crap back then, they keep swallowing it again.
Yes.
Oh, also the Woodrow Wilson that gave us the federal income tax.
Yep. That's right. Federal income tax and the Federal Reserve at the same time. And you know, when he was trying to push us into that war, I like to talk about, the fact that when we had Roe v. Wade there, everybody said, well, it's a law of the land. I said, well, whatever you think of this, a Supreme Court decision is not an unalterable law of the land. And I give an example as to what Woodrow Wilson did to a movie producer who did a movie. He'd worked with D.W. Griffith on Birth of a Nation, which is about the Civil War and the Ku Klux Klan and stuff. But he did a great job. This particular guy, not D.W. Griffith, but this particular guy was one who did the historical set scenes for like the surrender at Appomattox. And so he decided that he'd do his own movie because, he was the best thing about that movie. And so he decided he'd do The Spirit of 76. Problem is, in the American Revolutionary War, the British were the bad guys. And Woodrow Wilson wanted us to go to war with them on their side. And so he wanted this heavily censored. And when the guy did not refute, when he refused to censor this, Woodrow Wilson charged him. I forget what the charges were, but he got a 10-year jail sentence and he got a fine of like $10 million, which is ridiculous at the time. I think it was $10 million. But it was, again, the dollar was worth a lot more before the Federal Reserve. And so I forget if that was what it was equivalent to in today's dollars. Anyway, the bottom line was that stayed there. They argued a movie is not free speech. And that was the decision, the Supreme Court decision, for about 40 years until the mid-50s, where they ruled that, yes, movies are protected under the First Amendment. And so I use that as an example of how Supreme Court decisions can be wrong, and they're not permanent, and they don't really alter things. But again, that tells us something about the Woodrow Wilson administration, how they would use anything that they could, and they did use the press, and they used movies and other things like that to influence people. And if you were not selling the narrative that they wanted, they would shut you down, just like today.
He put kids in jail.
Yeah.
I think they're Princeton University for being out in front of the draft board reading the Constitution.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a crime syndicate that the people call a government.
That's right.
Nothing's changed. Oh, now it's misinformation if you don't repeat the same crap that they're throwing out. Mm-hmm. And you don't believe what the government says. If you don't believe what the government says, that's misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not no different.
Mm-hmm.
This country's lost its freedom.
That's right.
It's lost it.
The thing is, you know, when you look at it, they used to kind of try to keep this stuff hidden, right? And now it's right in your face about the you know, about the Federal Reserve being a corporation. Now it's pretty clear, and they're pretty upfront about the fact that they want this, the global government is going to be a global governance of corporations and, you know, former nation states. And those nation states, I think, are just going to become a vestige of the order that used to be, in the same way that the states are pretty much a vestige of what we had before, where the real power moved to Washington. Well, the real power is going to move to a global governance, and it's going to be these corporations and these non-governmental organizations that are the so-called stakeholders by the World Economic Forum. They'll keep the countries around so that people have that sense of continuity, but it'll just be fake. But it's been a global, it's been a corporatocracy. As you point out, you know, the Federal Reserve running us, it's been a corporatocracy for a very long time. They're just becoming more open about it, I think.
Yeah, and but it's not only the corporatocracy on that one. When you're talking about the, you know, global initiative, it's the big corporations, the hedge funds, the private equity groups that own everything.
That's right. That's right.
They own everything.
Yeah, the stakeholders.
Companies own everything.
That's right.
All we are plantation workers of Slavelandia. That's all it's become.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they call them the stakeholders. You know, they will have a stake and you will own nothing. Let's talk a little bit about the economy. I began just before you came on talking about the fact that 84% of CEOs and 69% of consumers think that there's going to be a recession coming up this next year for the economy, but only 0% of the Federal Reserve think that. None of them think that because they think they're going to manipulate this, right? Is that your take on this? What do you think about that?
Well, they're definitely going to manipulate it because the election's coming up. Mm-hmm. And before the election, again, who's running the government? You got Ms. Faccia Brutta. You look up the word, it's an Italian expression, Ms. Faccia Brutta. Janet Yellen is our Treasury Secretary. Mm-hmm. So they want to keep the same power in power.
Yeah.
So they're going to lower interest rates in the run-up to the presidential reality show next year.
Mm-hmm.
So they boost the economy up. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
Now let's go about why you should believe what they say. Let's go back to that other arrogant clown, that other boy, Jerome Powell. Salenti, you're full of crap in your Trends Journal. Don't know what the hell you're talking about. There's no inflation. It's only temporary. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That only lasted for about a year. Oh, then it became transitory. Why don't we call it transgendatory? It will really be.
Now, these are people who can't tell whether it's inflation or deflation or good economy or whatever, just like they can't tell what gender they are. So, yeah.
So they didn't start raising interest rates till last March.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, you got that other clown playing the head of the ECB, Christine Lagarde, who is the former head of the IMF. What do they call it? The International Mafia Federation? Monetary Fund. There's no inflation.
Yeah.
They didn't start raising interest rates until last July. And now, who would believe anything coming out of their mouths? But yes, they're going to lower it. We're forecasting they're going to lower interest rates, even though they say they're not going to. They're going to lower them in the run-up to the presidential reality show next year. Mm-hmm. Now, will there be a recession? Of course there will be. It takes about 17 to 18 months before the effects of high interest rates hit the economy. And now that time is now. So the you look at the data coming in. Europe is going into a recession. The United States is going to go into recession. You're looking what's going on with the with mortgage rates. Mm-hmm. You know, they're heading to an 8%.
Mm-hmm.
People can't afford to buy that. They can't. You know, the median price of a home is what, $420,000.
Mm-hmm.
Your median household income is $74,500. How can you buy a house? And then you were talking about the devaluation of the dollar is worth about 97% less than it was before Woodrow Wilson brought us into the world, gave us the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Down 97% since then.
Yeah. Yeah. John Carney at Breitbart Economics was saying in an interview, he said, this is the least affordable housing market we've ever had. And the reason he's saying that is, you know, we've had higher interest rates, we all know. Back at the end of the 70s, you know, we had the OPEC oil shock, and it sent out the stagflation that we had. And as you pointed out, this is going to be dragflation. It's going to drag us down in a recession. But we've seen high interest rates, and yet it's also the prices that are happening there, which is really strange how expensive the prices have gotten. And so it's this combination of getting up to like an 8% rate and really expensive prices that are keeping people out of the market. And one of the things that he says, which I think is kind of interesting, and it reflects on what you were saying about how they can use a change in interest rates to boost the incumbent president. He says, I worry about the incredible reaction that's going to happen when they ease off of the interest rates just a little bit. I think they keep it up there with these high prices and these high interest rates, shutting everybody out from being able to do anything. If they temporarily lower it, it's going to have an immediate effect and a real quick sugar fix for the economy to try to make Biden look good. But I think keeping these interest rates high until, you know, sometime next year when they calculate that's going to have the most effect, I think that really will have a big effect because there's going to be so much pent up demand and everything. If they drop it a couple of points suddenly, and of course, you know, they're making big moves in interest rates this time, much bigger moves than they did when they created the bubble and then burst it in 2007 and 2008. They were only going up like a quarter of a point each time, 25 basis points. Now they're doing it three times as fast when they started pulling this thing up. So I think if they drop it pretty fast, that's really going to do a whiplash in the economy, but it's going to redound to the benefit of Biden, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And again, you're going to look at them. We had forecasts. It's all there in the magazine, my podcasts. Mm-hmm. In November, we said the S&P 500 would go up over 16% this year, and it did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then in July, we said, get ready for the markets to go down in September and October. Mm-hmm. And they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Right. Why would you gamble in the equity markets if you can get 5% plus on your money by putting it in a money market or a CD?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With the treasuries up there, you're almost getting 5% as well. And you got a pretty safe bet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Why gamble in the stock market when you can get 5% on your dough? Mm-hmm. Now let's put the whole thing together. Why the hell should I keep any money in the bank?
Mm-hmm.
They're giving me crap on my money. Oh, the banks? Now let's put what no one is saying until recently that we've been saying for 3 years is going to be an office building bust.
Yes.
This goes back into the banks. According to Castle Systems, that's with a K, the office occupancy rate in the United States is 50.4%.
Mm. Yeah.
The office vacancy rate, meaning the offices are empty, nearly 20%. Now, I own a building. Of course, I don't, because only the bigs own them.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have less, my tenants' leases are up, and they're not going to renew this damn thing because they have their workers working, only coming in maybe 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need all this floors. I had 12 floors. Give me three. I got to pay my loan. Oh, my loan that just went up because I have a revolving loan. And now interest rates are much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't pay it.
That's right.
You're going to see defaults in the banking system like we've never seen before.
Yes.
And again, as money's pouring out, so they don't have the money to cover these losses. Oh, and also, when all that money that came in when the government created the phony COVID war and they gave all the people that free money, what did they do with that free money that went into the banks? Oh, they bought U.S. bonds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they bought U.S. bonds at very record low interest rates. So now they got all this worthless cash that is not worth anything, that they can't pay off the debt that is going to be defaulted when the office buildings go bust.
That's true. Yeah, and you pointed that out for the longest time, this the commercial real estate stuff. And it really had its genesis, of course, in the lockdown. Giving people, shutting down business, you can't go to work, and then telling people just stay there, and getting us used to it, right? So people didn't want to go back to work.
No.
And people are expecting, well, I need to get my stimulus check again and all the rest of stuff. It's amazing to me, Gerald, how short a time, and of course, it seemed like an eternity for me, all this lockdown stuff and everything, but it really was a relatively short period of time that they got people accustomed to what they really want everybody to have, which is if you work at all, you're going to work from home. But we're also going to give you a universal basic income and all the rest of this stuff. It amazed me how quickly people adopted that mindset and how that has been entrenched. And that's a very dangerous thing, just like the presumed and usurped authority of these public health officials to order us around to do whatever they want. It's also the psychological change that puts us into this new normal from just that short period of time, giving people a taste of that. We always knew what these universal basic income things were going to do. And they've been trying to run these trial programs, but Trump's program, the PPP and the stimulus checks and all the rest of this stuff, that was the real thing that lasted for several months. And that was enough to change people's minds and really put the economy on a downward spiral that we're not pulling out of.
Again, the people buy anything. I mean, it's my father, when I get upset, he'd say to me, son, take it easy. People have little minds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe that, how about 88% of the people swallow the crap spewing out of the mouth of a little moronic piece of clown jerk, a little daddy's boy, George W. Bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to get that guy Osama bin Laden dead or alive. And we go into the that's his words. And we go into the Afghan war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the people believe anything that they're fed. Hey, listen, I don't want to talk about this anymore. What about Taylor Swift? How about Beyonce, huh?
That's right. That's right.
I mean, look at the news about this crap. Look at the new Taylor Swift, Beyonce. What are you? Oh, you ready for this? Gannett News, Gannett Nothing, the biggest news chain in America.
Mm-hmm. USA Today and things like that. Yes, yeah.
They're hiring journalists to cover Beyonce, and Taylor Swift. That's journalism today. And that's all the media is. And again, that's why we're giving you what we give you in the magazine, the Trends Journal. There's nothing like it. And I'm not bragging about it. I'm telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
There's no news anymore. There's no journalism anymore. Oh, you're going to swallow the crap coming out of Anderson Cooper's mouth? A little daddy's girl, a mommy's girl, not mommy's boy. Excuse me. I don't know. I'm sure which. Oh, my mommy was Gloria Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, one jerk after another. Jake Tapper. Look at these clowns. These arrogant little nothings. Arrogant little nothings. Oh, Rachel Maddow. I mean, look at the garbage. The Fox News throws out their crap. The CNN throws out their crap. All they do is sell agendas. They sell the garbage they believe in.
That's right.
And want you to swallow their crap. Swallow my crap. Be a good American.
Yeah, that's right.
How can you be so stupid to watch that jerks?
I like your cover. You got a 3D version of the poop emoji wearing a suit and tie. And in your in Trends Journal, you reference as part of that cover, you reference Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm and expecting everybody to believe that you thought that was a door handle. I mean, it just gets more and more ridiculous, but I think it's going to get even more ridiculous next week because Trump's going to go and throw his hat into the ring as a speaker or whatever. Some other people have thrown his hat in. It's just amazing. It's like professional wrestling. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yep. Perfectly said.
Isn't it interesting, too, that it came to the forefront, didn't realize this until Nancy Pelosi got thrown out of her office and Steny Hoyer, who was her number two, got thrown out of his office, that these people had left their elected office, but they still had a physical office, and it was prime real estate there in the House right off the floor of the Senate. And she got very upset about the fact that as in a fit of vengeance, I guess, the Speaker Pro Tem threw them out of their office. It's like, well, what are you even doing with an office? This is like Fauci with his chauffeured limousine and his security detail after he's left employment. These people just keep going, don't they? Was this about her having access to insider trading? Or is she a lobbyist? What is going on? What does she need an office in the House of Representatives if she's not in the House of Representatives at this time?
Yeah, again, it's a joke. I mean, look at all the news that Dianne Feinstein died. She was dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
Page after page in the toilet paper record, the New York Times. Who gives a damn if your mother, your father, your loved ones, friends died? They don't mean anything.
Yeah, by
they
the
don't
millions.
Mean crap.
By
Dianne
the millions
Feinstein
stuff.
Died. She's only been sucking off the public tit her whole life.
Yeah.
He became the mayor of San Francisco when that guy shot the mayor and the other guy. Oh, Dianne Feinstein died. She's been dead for how long?
Yeah.
She was dead in the Senate.
That's right.
Look how they prop up these clowns. They're supposed to be public servants.
Yeah.
No, you do what we tell you to do.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, she's staying there because it's all about the money that she makes and the people around her making the money and the people, they just prop these people up. It's been weakened with Bernie for the longest time with Dianne Feinstein. We see it with Biden. We see it with Mitch McConnell. That's why the system just holds these people up as placeholders. And everybody gets so excited about them, and yet they're not on our side at all. I thought one of the most interesting things coming out of the speaker fight was the fact that there was concern that with McCarthy gone, it was going to be harder to get money to Zelensky. What do you think about that? He was their meal ticket, I guess, part of it.
Biden came out with this plan, rebuild the infrastructure like $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, over 5 years, getting chump change to do crap.
Yeah,
as the whole infrastructure of this country is rotting in front of our eyes. Take the subway in New York. It's a night in Calcutta.
Mm-hmm.
Go to China. Look at their bullet trains. Look at the crap trains. Hey, aren't all you people happy over there in East Palestine? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, where that shit train do all those chemicals all over the place. Who cares about you? All you people in Maui, go to hell. We burnt you down. Go to hell. We'll give you nothing. The money has to go to the war machine.
That's right.
Oh, and by the way, in your Trends Journal this week, the military-industrial complex is moving to Ukraine. That's right. That's right. Big military corporations that make these armaments and things from France, from one country after another, the United States, they're moving into Ukraine to build them.
Oh, yep. That's interesting, because that's been the bright spot in the economy. You know, the fact is that, that's gone up a tremendous amount. You know, everything else seems to be going down. But when you look at the economy as an aggregate, the thing that is jumping up there has been the military industrial complex. And now they're going to have to ramp that up. They decide that they will offshore it into Ukraine, right?
Yep.
Wow.
And again, to me, if I were to run for president, I would use the platform of my Occupy Peace movement. Close all the bases overseas. What the hell are we doing in Okinawa? What are we doing in Italy? Right. What are we doing in Germany? Were there 800 bases in some 70 countries? Bring home the troops. Secure the homeland. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Bring home the troops and secure the homeland. Number two, all you people getting your free money over here, I got a job for you. We're going to put you to work. We're going to have a new work progress administration. You're going to help to rebuild our rotted infrastructure like they did during the Great Depression. Look at the great dams, the great projects that they created back during the Great Depression when they put the out-of-work workers to work to build bridges and dams. But again, you couldn't do that today because the people are too fat to work.
Well, and also because I think the Biden administration and these people on this globalist agenda, they are determined to tear down our country. They don't want to build anything. I mean, you got Buttigieg out there saying, hey, these overpasses are racist. These roads are racist. We need to tear them down. They're spending money to tear down existing infrastructure rather than even rebuilding
it. Well, look, I on some of that level, by the way, I agree. What they did with this, with the road projects in the 1950s, they destroyed so many cities, cutting right through them. You go to New Haven over here, not far from, you know, Connecticut. You go to cities, boom, 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 these stupid morons, because they're bureaucrats. You know, so I'm not talking about that part of it. I'm talking about the other part of it, about when I said to people, what do you got, 42% of Americans are obese. Look what's going on in this country. Look what's going on. Did you see that that clip of that woman throwing stuff in Walmart the other day?
No, I didn't see that.
And a cop throwing it down, a state trooper.
Oh,
whatever.
And I saw where she was on the ground and she's yelling, Walmart is racist, right?
Yeah. Did you see what she looked like?
Oh, yeah. 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 She was fairly large.
Yeah. That's America.
Yeah.
That's America. Look what what's going on with the military. They can't get guns. They're too fat. Too fat to fight.
Yeah.
Again, if I was president, I'd have a fat tax. The more you weigh, the more you pay. This is costing our country, if the data's all there, of the hundreds of billions of dollars, it's costing us because of the obesity problem. And now they're coming out with all these drugs to take for obesity. Do you know what it costs a year to go on these drugs?
What's that?
It's over $12,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's your fat tax.
No. Yeah, right. Now, $12,000 a year you're paying to get this drug. Do you realize the great food that you could buy for $12,000 a year?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I got to cook it on my own. I could go to McDonald's. I could go to Burger King. I could go to Popeyes. I could go to, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I could eat crap all day long. I don't want to do anything. This country went down when they pushed women into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Because once upon a time, you watch those old movies from the 50s, and again, I'm born in the 40s. They had all these, when the guys used to go to work and women used to raise their children and cook.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be me if my mother didn't raise me. There were seven kids. My mother's cooking all day long, taking care of the family, doing the laundry, doing all this stuff while my father's working.
Mm-hmm.
My father was in construction. And every night we'd come home, like, you know, from school. Mom, going out. Make sure you're home at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we'd all sit down for dinner. Mm-hmm. Night after night after night after night. No, we weren't watching television as we were eating. We had one television, you know. I think that we got that like in the late 1950s sometime, you know, something like that. Now women aren't cooking. They're buying this ultra-processed food, feeding their kids garbage. Look at the mental illness going on. Oh, and by the way, again, in your Trends Journal, week after week, we're putting the side effects that they are reporting of these weight loss drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also aspartame. You know, I mean, they're talking about that. You know, people say, well, I want to have my junk food, but let me get it with an artificial sweetener. And now we're seeing, finally, after many of us have been saying this for a very long time, because it affected me directly when I would drink something with aspartame, I'd immediately get a headache. So I knew what was happening with it. It doesn't affect everybody that way, of course, or they wouldn't be using it. But now the long-term effects of even that are showing up with people and across the board. But, you know, when you talked about the
family. Well, stop on aspartame for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be the chief government affairs specialist for a major segment of the chemical industry back in the 70s. I was killing environmental legislation at the height of the environmental movement. All I wanted to do was make money.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't start growing up until around, I was about 32 years old, 30 years old, when the, about 32, when the Iran war began, the Iran, Iran war, when they overthrew the Shah. And that's when I started becoming, I realized, and I quit my job. I'm mentioning this. Because I wouldn't, first of all, I was terrible at what I did, but I wouldn't know what I know if I wasn't on the other side. But you talked about aspartame. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget reading the data back in the 1970s.
Wow.
When aspartame was coming out about the dangers of it.
Mm.
And how, again, the people that I used to represent paid off, they call them lobbyists, paid off the government to push this through.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how, you have no idea how easy it was for us to kill oncoming environmental legislation. I would hire, I didn't know, I'd pick up the Federal Register, I'd start reading it, so I'm not going to read shit. I hired two lawyers from Washington. It was my job to be in charge of this. And I interviewed a load of them. And the lawyers that I hired lawyers that understood science. And then we would have our meetings. Again, I began this at 28 years old. I was staying at the Hay Adams, the Willard, and putting on my meetings at the Hay Adams. The Hay Adams, the White House is over there. The Hay Adams Hotel is over here.
Hmm.
I bring in the top people from the chemical industry. I have about 16 of them sitting around the table going over the legislation that we were trying to kill. And they were saying the weak points and the heart and the strong points of it. Go around the table and to get to the attorneys. And I said, you understand what they're saying over here? Yeah, we understand that, but we're not sure about this, not sure about that, blah, 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 boop, 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 boop. They put it all together. They said, okay, we got it. And bam, they'd kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have a dinner I'm going back to the 70s, $3,000 dinners, events that we were putting on for when we bring these people in. So I was on the other side. I know how this works. Yeah. So when you talk about aspartame, everybody knew it was deadly back then. Everybody knew it was deadly back
then. Yeah. Wow.
Everybody knew it was deadly back then. We do not have a government. We got a bunch of arrogant little slime balls who just want power, money, and don't have to work. They're called politicians. Politics, sucking the life out of us. Many ticks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been that way a long time. Absolutely has. Let's talk, though, about the traditional family that you mentioned and women going back to work. Because I saw this, I was going to talk about this, but I didn't get to it today. And this was about what has happened to the American Library Association, a woman in charge of it who proudly calls herself a Marxist lesbian. And they just had a conference in September, a Socialism 2023 conference. Angela Davis, who's an open Marxist criminal who'd been on the FBI's most wanted list for giving money to guns to people who wanted to kill judges and stuff. She was a keynote speaker there. But listen to some of the topics that they have. Family abolition today, resisting the trad wife turn, sex work, policing and border abolition. Border abolition shows up several different times. So yeah, human trafficking is what they're pushing. And then when you get to the environmentalism and the Green New Deal, a lot of stuff about that. The long road to the Green Deal, in other words, the march through the institutions that was the reference by the Marxists. But then this, degrowth and eco-socialist revolution. And that is what this is about. It is about, you'll own nothing, we'll own it. And we've got to have a process of degrowth, which is to either let the infrastructure decay and do nothing about it, or to deliberately tear it down. You know, Gerald, when they're talking about these, the bans on gas stoves and gas furnaces and all that kind of stuff in the UK, they're going to go through and they're not only going to ban those appliances, but they're going to go underground and rip up the infrastructure, the pipelines, the gas pipelines that are already there to make sure nobody can have these things in the future. Degrowth.
They're doing it here in New York, they're banning gas stoves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I make sure that the next step is to rewild, is the way they put it in the UK, to go in and rip up the existing infrastructure there, the gas lines and things like that. I mean, they are taking us back to the dark ages and all this stuff. And again, the primary focus is with these librarians is on the kids as comrades, resisting and abolishing the family. That is their target, and that's how they get what they want.
And what all the things you talked about, I'm saying to myself as you're talking, what does this have to do with library?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they've got
I think
classes.
It's spelled it. I think it's spelled L-I-E. Lie.
Yeah. Well, they got classes on how they can introduce kids to pornography at an early date. They call it a blind date with a banned book. And so they're pushing a pornograph. That's what they call the pushing of pornographic books to the kids. And what does a drag queen story time hour have to do with a library either? But that is what has been popularized. And it is coming from these, these people who have taken over and marched through the institutions. They've taken that over, and it is a deliberate plan. And we need to, that's the key thing. People just look at this and they can't make any sense of it if they don't understand what the overarching plan of this is. And they need to understand how Marxism and socialism have allied with this transgenderism and pedophilia and sex trafficking and open borders and abolition of the borders, abolition of the family. I mean, they're trying to, it is a program to completely destroy everything in this country. And that's what people can't get their head around. They just can't imagine that people would want to do that type of thing.
There are nearly, in the last year, there are nearly 150,000 illegal immigrants in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And
now Biden with this wall, you're going to build a wall, right? Yeah, everybody,
Well, he knows that it worked for Trump, doesn't he? I said earlier in the program, I said, can you imagine the pressure that he's getting from even Democrats on all this stuff? Because they see how rapidly this destruction is happening. And it's like, back off a little bit. Let's just as you see Bill Gates saying, we got to not brute force this change into climate stuff as quickly. They understand that they have turned up the heat too quickly, and the frogs that they're trying to boil are starting to realize what's going on. But Biden knows that, you know, Trump got away with that lie before. You know, it's like, oh, I'll fix this. We've been lied to for the longest time about the GOP, about controlling the borders and controlling immigration. And then Trump took it to another level. He lied to us about a wall that he didn't build. And so Biden knows that he can say whatever he wants. And if he adopts that line, he doesn't have to do it, just like Trump didn't do it.
This is terrible that they're allowing all these people to come in. We're paying for it. That's that. You can't make this stuff up.
Oh, I know.
You know, they're putting a lot of them in the Roosevelt Hotel in the city. You know, I love old music, and I hear these old things, and here's Glenn Miller and his band at the Roosevelt Hotel. You know, da 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 da, and now it's a hellhole, all filled with migrants. And I got pals in New York City are telling me these gangs running all over the place, man.
Well,
you gotta be careful everywhere you go.
Yeah, I played something earlier in the show of a citizen journalist who goes up and he stands in front of one of these hotels and he starts taking pictures and he says to somebody, he says, "What's going on here?" And this guy in a suit and tie comes out and says, "You can't film here." He goes, "What do you mean I can't film? It's a public sidewalk. You can't film here. What is this?" "I don't know what it is." "What's your name?" "I don't know what my name is." And on about this stuff. But, you know, they've got these contracts. Eric Adams, the mayor, has got these contracts with these hotels that were going bankrupt because of all the lockdown, just like you're talking about commercial real estate. And he comes in and says, "I'll pay you twice as much as what you were charging people. And I'll give you, you know, like a 90% occupancy rate." And so some of these hotel chains love him because of what he's doing, but it is destroying the country and it's bankrupting the city. And so you're not hearing anything at all. I said, the interesting thing is the dog that didn't bark about all this stuff. Wouldn't you expect that all of these open border Democrats would be screaming bloody murder about Biden's idea to build a wall at the border like they scream bloody murder about Trump's? No, they're not saying anything.
You know why?
Why is that?
It's going to be in this. We've been writing about this, and there's going to be a special section in next week's Trends Journal. The migrant issue is global. It's in Europe. It's in America. The people have had enough. It's one country after another imposing now strict migrant restrictions. They've had enough. And it's going to be a big issue in the 2024 presidential reality show. And the Democrats are going to be against it as well.
Yeah.
They're going to change on it because they know they're not going to get votes if they say we should allow them in. And it's very important that nobody talks about, that we wrote about as it was happening. Let's go back to 2011, when the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Barack Obama, along with that other piece of scum over there in France, Sarkozy, and Cameron, the little idiot over there, little boy of nothing in the UK, along with Samantha Power, Hillary Clinton, and Susan Rice, Gaddafi has to go. They got rid of Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi, there's the video, anybody could watch it, of him warning the Europeans, if anything happens to me, and I'm no longer in charge of Libya, you will be flooded with refugees. And here they are.
And of course, there are NGOs that are making a lot of money off of this. And, you know, people will save up all their life savings and they're still short. And so they come here indentured to these figures of organized crime. And that's how they get them into human trafficking. And all the rest of this stuff, it is a really heinous thing that is happening. And of course, not all of those people from Africa are going into Europe. I saw a video, they had all these people sitting down in a row and they had an individual talking to them, asking them where they're from. They're from all over the world. They're from Africa, Asia, Central and South America. And they asked them where they were going. And most of them said they're going to New York.
What no one else is, all again, remember what I just said about Gaddafi. They killed him and they created their own problem. It wasn't like that before he was dead. Number two, what no one's talking about, And you just mentioned these people, the refugees from all over the world. We shouldn't call them migrants. They're refugees. They're leaving their countries because of lack of basic living standards, government corruption, crime, and violence. Mm-hmm. No one is talking about why they are leaving all these countries and how the world is going to hell, and they're trying to get away from their hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are they leaving their country? So for me, I don't want them coming into my house. Anybody that wants to take the migrants in, open your doors, let them in. I don't want them in my house. I'd say to them, listen, man, you better go back to your country and do something to change this. Mm-hmm. This ain't my trip. Mm-hmm. All right? You better go back and do something to change this. Oh, and they're complaining about what's going on, all the Venezuelans coming here? Huh. You remember Trump saying that Maduro wasn't the president of Venezuela, and he was bringing in that guy Guaido? Oh, people don't remember that. Oh, and you had that arrogant Bolton guy? Yeah, that was under Trump as well. We're going to overthrow the Venezuelan government. You can't sell any more oil in America. Mm-hmm. We're going to create a horrible situation there. Oh, and the European countries said Guaido is the real president of Venezuela. Oh, and you tried to do a coup going from Colombia into Venezuela. Oh, people don't remember any of that, do you, all you Trump fans? That just helped destroy Venezuela. Oh, and you know where that little clown Guaido is now? He's teaching at one of the universities now in Florida.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's the thing. They don't want to look at the policy that is there, the exploitation that is going there. And the purpose of bringing everybody in is, as you know, the places that they're in are hell holes. I mean, Biden is floating these ideas of having... you mentioned the FDR Corps. Well, let's have an environmental corps. And I said, well, you know what the environmental corps looks like? Just take a look at the cobalt mines in the Congo. You know, when you look at the so-called Democratic Republic of Congo, when you look at that, that is a literal hole, a literal hell hole. That's what your environmental youth corps looks like. It looks like child labor and these horrific things for this, your green agenda. And it's just amazing to me to see how all of these, as you know, we've been talking about this entire hour, how they're all owned and how they're all there just to get as much as they can for as long as they can. And again, the people around them, let's prop up this dead corpse that we've all coalesced around. Because as long as we can do that, we've got power and we can get money and access to all the money that we need with this. It's amazing to me to see all the money in the elections. You know, they talk about how much money they're making in one quarter. You know, oh, look, Trump got more than DeSantis did. Trump got $45 million and DeSantis got $30. It's like, why is that a good thing anyway, that these people are getting so much money? I remember the election of 2000 when George W. Bush got $100 million total. That's everything that he got in all of the PACs. And Gore got $75 million, and he accused Bush of trying to buy the election. All together, $175 million. I mean, we got Senate races where they're making more than that, you know, and even now to House races.
Oh, you're the clown from the state you left. What is it?
Texas.
Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To run for governor. $100 billion. Mm-hmm. That's Stacey Adams over there in Georgia. $100 billion, both of them to lose. $100 mm-hmm. billion. Oh, this is America, the land of opportunity, freedom and democracy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have money from the bigs, you're a nobody. You don't run for anything.
That's right.
You got to get the money to run. That's America.
That's right.
And Lincoln... Get this, if we have a minute.
Yeah.
The sure. We're talking about the migrant flood. The Catholic Church, by the way, they're totally in favor of this.
Oh yeah.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're getting people from South America to fill the empty pews. Mm-hmm. And I was raised a Catholic. I'm totally opposed to what the Catholic Church has become, because I've been terribly abused by the Catholic Church. A nun beat me up in the fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Perforated my middle ear. I can never get my ears wet again the rest of my life. And I used to go water skiing in the Hudson River, 10 years old. Can never get my ears wet again. God, Jesus Christ would have loved her. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then left me back. So I was the stupidest kid in the school. And of course, I amounted to nothing. And last week, in Baltimore, they filed for bankruptcy. They did it over there in San Francisco. The Catholic Church filed for bankruptcy because they have to pay off. They have to pay these guys, these young boys that were abused by all these priests.
Mm, mm.
That's what the Catholic Church has become. It's a disgrace to Jesus Christ because I'm a warrior for the Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I believe in because I'm mentioning this because the religions have become the same things as what the government has become from the founding of America and our founding fathers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You talked about Woodrow Wilson. Yeah. He could he could have joined the Catholic Church and be one of those priests that abused the little boys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That all the religions have gone away from the heritage from what they were built up from. Where are they for peace? Where the Quakers all die in an earthquake? Seventh-day Adventists waiting for the eighth day. Where are you for peace?
That's right. Yeah.
Look what just happened in Israel. Spitting at the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That's at a Jerusalem Post.
Yeah.
Spitting at the Christians, and they're quoting in the Jerusalem Post, quoting that that's part of what they're supposed to do. Spit on the Christians. Mm. Oh, if I spit on somebody, guess what? That's an assault.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it's the institutions have been corrupted. Yep. And
that's it.
You know, it is our political institutions. And that's a hallmark of the fourth turning, isn't it? You know, where everybody looks at it, we see this and it's like, yeah, there's no point in even trying to fix these things anymore. Let's just get rid of them and start from scratch. I hope that's what's going to happen. Because if it doesn't, we're looking at a really, a new dark ages and a new.
It's going to be a nuclear annihilation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I agree. So, it is a sad thing to see. But again, you know, it is. We got a front row seat to what is happening. We live
in
interesting times. That's right. And if you want to know what, and you got to know what the plan is. You got to know what is coming, so that you know what to fight. That's the key thing. And you got to know who's
for peace.
That's right. You got to know who's on your side and who's on the other side. And no better way to find that out than at Trends Journal. Again, trendsjournal.com. Thank you so much, Gerald, for coming on. And everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.